This is CliffCentral.com.
This show contains adult content. If you find it offensive, please go to the CliffCentral.com website where there's a show for you.
CliffCentral.com. It is Friday morning. This is Unradio. This is Unscripted. And I have an idea this morning is most definitely uncensored. Sex talk with John T. Searle and Tamar and some really cool guests. My friend Trevor, good morning.
Good morning, John T.
And thank you for being with us. It's really cool that you came to share.
Pleasure, thank you for
and
inviting.
Somebody we have never had in the studio before, Jude.
Hi, John T.
But I had her before. I met her before.
One, more than once.
Was it good?
Wow.
Yeah?
Recommending.
Okay.
Highly.
Okay. In the scale of 20 from 10.
Okay, well, maybe we're going to have to make this a really practical bio show.
Yeah, I think so.
Or demonstration.
Bisexuality. So it's International Bi Week, and we are talking about bisexuality, which is actually a much bigger and more prevalent part of people's lives than you may think. Because since we've started putting stuff out, it has raised an enormous amount of interest, and a lot of people are sharing their bisexuality in a way like never before, which is really, really fascinating. So, your questions, your comments, your pictures, experiences, your issues, WhatsApp us on 079-748-2090. We would love to hear that. But let's see if these guys have any smarts, because this is actually a really simple word this morning.
Today's Dirty Dictionary word is
foot job.
Self-explanatory.
Dirty Dictionary word.
Foot job. What do you think a foot job is? Have you ever experienced a foot job? I haven't. I don't know that it would be high on my list to experience. Actually,
I had an experience that a guy asked me to give him a foot job.
And did you do it?
Well, yeah, it was a really cool party, and it was all about the foot fetish. And I was like, yeah, dude, that's what you like. Come, let's do it. And I was like, we were walking on him, and we were like rubbing him with our feet, and we were like, you know, shoving our toes into it. And then we were like, I was just doing yoga postures up and down, like really good abdominal core muscle
workout.
Yeah, it was really cool. Okay. I think it's cool when your feet are clean.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah.
Just brings up a memory. One of my favorite TV shows was called Weeds.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And there's a guy in it who he gives good foot. I've never tried that, and I have to tell you, it's not on my list either. Have you ever tried footing?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Yeah.
Receiving it or giving it?
Giving it.
Yeah.
And receiving it, but only once.
Okay. And how was that?
You try everything once, usually twice. But
okay.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of receiving it. Giving it, it doesn't particularly turn me on.
Okay.
But it's nice to give someone else pleasure.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Trevor, has ever been on your agenda?
I have tried it once or twice, giving and receiving.
Mm.
But it goes down to deep thing, exactly what Tamara was saying, the whole hygiene thing.
Mm.
And I've got one or two things that are just a no-go area. Cracked heels is on top of that list.
Yeah.
It's if like I see that, as well.
That's even worse.
Not sexy.
And that touches your skin. It's like, I'm gone. So...
Okay. Look how it became a show about footing.
Absolutely.
There we go. Mm.
From nowhere to footing in 3 seconds flat.
Yeah, escalated fast.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. So, if you've ever had a foot experience, share it with us. WhatsApp 0797482090. So, I didn't even know that I have an entry point for this yet. Let's start with this. What was your journey to discover this within you? How did you know that you were a bisexual being?
I don't think there was a moment, a defining moment. Mm-hmm. I think it's always just been who I was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there really wasn't a moment. And I didn't even have a label for it until probably in my late 20s. Mm. Yeah, I would just, if I liked somebody, I would hook up with them or date them. Or, yeah, it wasn't really about the gender of the person.
Okay. Mm. Was your first sexual experience with a man or with a woman?
It was with a guy. Mm. And then my first sexual experience with a woman followed shortly after that. And I was like, wow. Okay. This is nice.
Okay. And is it as emotional as it is physical? Is definitely. The connection, does it work on both levels?
Yeah, definitely. Okay. I think at first it was probably just physical when I was exploring, and then obviously you start talking to each other and making deeper connections, and yeah, it went from there.
Okay. Mm. And is the physical attraction to men or women greater, or is it the same? Does it depend on the person, the situation?
I think it's about the same. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's an expression that I really love that goes hearts, not parts. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if you're connected to the person and you like them, then it's it is less relevant what body they're in. Yeah.
So Charlie's been saying something really interesting all week. My friend Charlie says, if you can't get it, then you buy it. And that was Charlie's.
Or as you said, in the water flow massage, which was spectacular, John T.
Everybody straight until it starts feeling good.
Exactly.
Like spaghetti.
When it straight until it's wet. Yeah, hot and wet. Yeah. It really is true. And that's why there's so many dark rooms in sex clubs. Because you can really let go of that idea of the
of what you're supposed to be.
The taboo. Because when it feels good, it feels good. We're just scared. We're so scared.
Mm. And what people will think and how you'll look.
I have another question in my heart, because I never fell in love with a woman. I've been with many women, and I love women, and I think they are so pretty. And they're like really sexy, and they're and everything looks great. I love touching, but I never fell in love, and that's why I keep on asking myself: am I bi curious? Am I bi loving?
Let's look at that. Let's look at that word, because it's kind of quite a common word at the moment. What does bi curious actually mean?
To me, it kind of means someone that hasn't done it, but they want to.
Okay.
But they're afraid to try.
Or they want to explore, but they're not sure.
So they haven't quite dipped a toe in the water yet.
Or maybe had a soft experience, like just a kiss.
Okay. That's an interesting one.
Or they were surprised. Mm. You know, they got touched by someone of the same sex, had a reaction that was positive, and actually not sure what to do with it.
Mm. Or meet someone that sparked that in them.
Yeah. Mm. And that's a very big thing on the fact that we put ourselves in sexual labels. We put ourselves in sexual boxes. And then we have an experience or something comes into our lives that challenges that.
Yeah.
And what do we do with the boxes and that and the labels? And that becomes huge for a lot of people because we don't have education on how to expand that. And very often we don't have people to talk to.
Right. Yeah.
To say, okay, so I've had this experience and I thought I was this straight being and all of a sudden I'm not. And what do I do with this? And I remember early in my journey when I had some experiences and I had no clue what to do with them, and you wake up the next morning, and I was quite young, and there weren't a lot of people around to talk to.
Yeah.
And you think, okay, so who the heck are you now? So actually having people to talk to does become really, really important.
And I find I'm quite open about it, especially with in my friendship circles and close friends, and then it kind of gives other people the courage to admit it as well, if they know that you are openly bi and you're not ashamed of it, and it's nothing it's not a big deal.
All of a sudden becomes something like, okay, so now we unpacked it.
Now they start admitting it. They're like, I also have feelings. I'd also like to explore that.
And I think everybody has... There is a theory that it's within all of us to some extent.
I think Freud said that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, the Kinsey scale, what is it?
Kinsey
scale?
That it is within all of us. And it's simply on the spectrum of human sexuality. What was your journey into this, Trevor?
I don't think I ever put a label on it. I think, look, I was definitely bound by what mainstream society, you know. My father was quite conservative, so anything to do with, call it male-male sexuality was a no-go. And I remember I had first sexual experience when I was a teenager with a boy. That was part of a normal exploration for me. Mm. And when I started working, one of the guys that was the accountant, he was gay. And him and I just connected. We never did anything. He had just met his partner that they've been together for 30 years now. Mm. And when we lost touch with each other, and when we did reconnect, he said one thing that my father actually said to him was that if you ever touch Trevor, you will lose your job.
Mm. Sure. Wow.
So it was quite profound that, you know, we discussed that afterwards. And I think I've never really put a label on it, because for me it's about the connection to the person, and it's not gender specific. Mm. So it doesn't make a difference if it's transgender, it could be, you know, someone going through a sex change, it doesn't make a difference, because it's a connection to that person within within the body.
Yeah.
And I think that's the biggest thing for me. You know, that's why I say, like, if you feel a connection to someone, you can do that with your eyes closed. Mm. And if you do it with your eyes closed, you actually don't know whether it's male or female or what it is.
True.
Or what that person is.
That's interesting. When you think about... Chanti, is that you?
No.
It's something very large between you.
I thought it's from your Mozambique.
A picture of what a turtle. Yeah. So when we were in Mozambique on the retreat, we actually saw turtle swimming, which is the most beautiful sight. Just it this is. Turtle
this
swimming
big,
in the sea.
Beautiful turtle.
It's incredible. And somebody has just sent us a picture. I have no idea if it's relevant to us.
But it's not shagging a turtle, so we don't need to worry about that. So it's not by beautiful. Turtle.
Turtle, that's there.
That's if you look at the
internalize
picture.
It. Yeah.
So in that, that is very.
Thank you. Once a year. Thank you. Once a year, something happens.
That's
once a year, Jonty.
That blows me away. That blows me away. Every now and then you do it, and that really blows me.
He doesn't not work on it for a year. Like.
Out of nowhere.
So that's amazing.
Yeah. At least you notice things.
So the thing is that.
completely.
It's like I blew him out of the water.
The thing is that if we talk about sexual authenticity, it's very fluid. Because as we change, our sexuality keeps changing and expanding. Mm. And the journey to authenticity is a continuous one. And the interesting thing, your partner Donna actually raised this with me in the week.
Yes.
Because in the last couple of weeks, I've been on two TV shows talking about alternate lifestyles, and I've done some other radio interviews, and I've had a lot of requests from other radio producers looking for people in alternate lifestyles.
Yes.
And the interesting thing in a lot of these is that female bisexuality is very open and almost encouraged in a way. It's like
definitely.
So much of a fantasy.
Sure. Like fetish almost.
But
male
bisexuality is very limited and closed and frowned upon. And a lot of men, even in the swinger lifestyle, are very homophobic. And they're terrified of inner experience of what happens if another guy touches my cock. Yeah. And I think what they're more scared of is... what happens if I like it? And that's the biggest fear. But in that lifestyle, which is supposedly so open, it is not so open, actually.
It's not at all. No, it's actually very heteronormative in lots of ways.
Yeah, and it's a very interesting thing.
No, it is. And definitely more prevalence of homophobic within that environment, which is quite ironic.
Yeah.
Because it is a fairly non-judgmental...
Supposed to be.
Supposed to be.
Well, supposed to
supposed
be,
to.
But it's
but
not.
It's not. It's not. Mm-mm. Definitely.
Yeah. And I realized this a while ago that, or when I first went to a swingers club and I thought, this is amazing because all these people would want to learn this stuff and have better... They don't.
No.
They want to
no.
do what they do. They might just do it with different people, but they do what they do.
Yes.
And swingers actually don't know a lot about sex.
No.
And a lot of times they don't know a lot about relationships either. They do what they do in a very small way.
Yeah.
And that's all that they're doing.
And it's more about the couple, I find often, like using other people as accessories and,
Using other people like accessories, like the microphone.
Yeah.
And that's
very
all that it is. Mm. That's really interesting. Yeah.
But don't you think it's interesting that men had to spend a lot of time together, if it's as warriors, as if it's hunters, whatever. And so there was kind of a silent agreement that it's okay to have a sexual contact, but not emotions.
Well, a lot of men did have that emotional contact.
Is it?
And a lot of older societies, it was much more fluid because men had those incredible bonds.
Yeah.
And we have moved so far from that.
Yeah.
And our definition of what it is to be a man, to be blunt at the moment, is incredibly fucked up.
That is.
The male role models that we have, if we look at our politicians, if we look at our religious leaders, if we look at our business
sports
leaders,
figures,
they are a corrupt bunch of fuckers.
Mm.
They are not strong.
No.
They're not clear. So it makes
they don't own anything they do.
No, and it makes it very hard to be a man. And the interesting thing about the feminist movement, as much as they might have gotten wrong in a lot of ways, is there was a feminist movement. And it looked at what it meant to be a woman, what it meant to be a woman in the world. And there hasn't been anything like that. It's only really recent with things like with the rise of the Mankind Project and other similar things that it's looking at what it means to be a man.
Mm.
And for men, one of the biggest blockages in our world is touch, that we have lost that
absolutely
of touching and of being touched. And being touched by a man is an incredibly special and different experience to being touched by a woman. And that's not a sexual touch.
What do you mean by that?
It's a touch of one human being to another.
Okay.
But in a man's touch, there's a strength. There's a holding. Because that's part of the masculine energy, is that holding space, holding a vessel.
It's also not a motherly nurturing. It's something that understands more. It's somehow more brotherly or friend. It's like I see you.
It has a lot of different elements, but it's very much that acknowledgement.
Mm. Yeah.
And we've lost that because you don't touch another man.
Yeah, it's hidden and it's buried.
Yeah.
In Israel, it looks like they're hitting each other when they're hugging. It's
yeah,
like,
but
hey!
that's what
yeah.
That's what men do. And yeah. And our touch has become kind of sports-oriented.
Yeah.
Mm.
And that's all.
That's true. I mean, look, when I first started going to swingers clubs a couple of years ago with my partner, for me it was the whole aspect about being non-judgmental.
Mm.
And the interesting difference that I've noticed from then to now, and, you know, whether it's due because I'm comfortable with who I am. When I go into the club, I don't shake people's hands. I give them hugs, male and female.
Sure.
Mm. And it's amazing to see that. And it's amazing to see that difference.
Yeah.
You just see that switch, and it's a completely different interaction.
And you know, people don't know how to take it.
They don't. Often they don't.
But there, it's a good place to start.
Exactly.
So it's like, hey, look, you're touching somebody already. It's a good progress.
You know, a while ago on a retreat in Mozambique, just off the beach in the resort we used, there's a beautiful wooden gazebo.
Mm.
So we did a process where we had all the women in one circle and all the men in another circle. And one woman would stand in the middle of all the women, and very gently they would just be caressed and touched and acknowledged by every woman. And we did the same thing with the men.
Oh, wow.
And for every single man there, it was a couples retreat, so there were only couples, which was irrelevant to the process, but it was the first time in their lives they had been touched by another man.
Sure.
Yep.
Everybody was nude.
Creepy.
It wasn't sexual, but the emotion that it brought up was incredible.
It's quite amazing.
Intense.
Was that the only thing that came up?
It was, actually, because it was so non-sexual, and it was much more emotional.
That's interesting.
So an interesting question, and it's kind of a generalized question, which in a way makes it a little bit stupid. Do you think bisexual people are more promiscuous than people who have not acknowledged that within themselves?
Well, you double your chances of getting laid.
Ah, there we go. You see.
Ah, that's right.
Why limit it to 50%?
Yes.
That's it. So if you're going out and you're looking for something.
So it could be. And why are we calling it promiscuous? It's quite funny that we're already labeling, you know.
Yeah.
The fact that you're going to have more experiences. Are you promiscuous or are you just enabling?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Just going out there and
but
grabbing
you definitely
what you
have,
want.
Yeah. And picking the fruit.
Absolutely.
And from that, is it obviously it's easier to be bi as a woman because it's much more acceptable?
I think so. Definitely.
I think so, yeah. Mm. I mean, it comes with its own set of problems. You know, that people just want to experiment on you instead of, you know, coming at you with an authentic approach.
Mm.
Yeah, there's a lot of bi-curious women. I'm sure you get it with guys as well. Yeah.
Mm. So they just want to... You'd end up doing more training almost.
Yeah, exactly.
So
you're like coaching
yourself,
them along, and then they figure out what they are and they, you know, probably move on. And you're like, damn, what?
But I did all the work.
So, Trevor, you're involved in the Mantopia parties,
yes.
Which are parties for men.
Yes.
the percentage of men who come to the parties who might be bi or straighter?
Predominantly, the most men there are gay. They've only been with men. Although lately I've noticed that there are a lot more that are actually admitting that they actually have been with women before. They just didn't necessarily enjoy the experience. So they haven't blocked it out. It's just something that they've tried and said, it's not for me. Which is more than most people would do. I mean, most people won't even have a willingness to go there.
Absolutely.
But I think it goes down to, you know, whether I think we're putting labels on whether it's bi or whether a person is not bi. I think it goes back down to who you are as a person.
Mm.
You know, if you know yourself, you can be anything you want to.
That's it. And just because you're one thing today doesn't mean you're that tomorrow.
Yeah.
And you don't have to put a label on it. You can just be fluid about all of it.
Yeah. Bisexuality in relationships. Now, that's quite fascinating.
Yes, Jude, that's quite fascinating.
Uh-huh. I did some reading. There's some very interesting questions that are being raised. And one of them was, when do you bring something like this up in a relationship? So what do you guys think? And then I'll give you my opinion.
Right at the beginning of the relationship.
Jude, what do you think?
I've always been open about who I am. Mm. So it's been generally with most people right from the beginning. It hasn't even been a conversation like, I have to tell you something. Mm. It's just been open about it from the beginning. Mm. And, of course, most guys are like, yay, we're going to have threesomes. <you know?" laughs> I'm like, well, maybe we are. Yeah. Okay, probably we are.
Interesting.
Yeah, but then we'll be with the guy as well, by the way.
Well, that's a whole other topic, you know, because that doesn't
the interesting
fly.
Interesting thing about that is that it's most men's first fantasy is with two women, and most men cannot fully satisfy one woman.
Yes,
right.
Never mind two. So it becomes an interesting.
And then I like
one.
To bring that up, the point that Tamar made. Now, you know, it's like, okay, cool, we can have threesomes. I know a cool guy, and then you check them, and go like, that's not what it means.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an interesting one. And what came from that, the extension of that was, what happens when that is not present in the beginning in a relationship, but it develops over time? And some of the stuff that I read was that nobody actually goes into a relationship to cause anybody else pain in that way. And it's something that you might have not acknowledged within yourself. And at some point in your life, it comes up, either from the male or female point of view. And how do you manage that? What do you do with it?
I think it's the same in any relationship. If something comes up in the relationship, whether it's on the male's part or the female's part, if you're in a normal relationship like that, or if you're in a same-sex relationship, it's about how you communicate with each other.
You know, and if you're honest about your growth as a person as you're growing up and moving on.
You've got to be honest with each other. That's the only way. And you've got to be open. You've got to have a willingness to take a risk and say, listen, this has come up. We need to look at it. I need to do X, Y, and Z, or we need to do A, B, C.
And we need education for relationships. We need guides, we need mentors on how to navigate these waters. Because I think for some people it would mean the end of a relationship.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. If, it depends if you're in a monogamous relationship or a poly relationship. Because if you're in a polyamorous relationship, then I don't think it really matters as much, because you have the freedom to explore that other side of you and still remain in your original relationship. But if you're monogamous, it would bring up other issues, like, does this mean the end of our relationship, or are you going to go date somebody else, etc., etc.?
Yeah, because then the partner who's not involved in that, it can bring up enormous insecurity that they are not enough.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, wait a minute, that's not about me, actually, it's about you.
And that I can't compete with that.
There's you don't need to compete with that.
You don't need to, but people feel that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the way that we've set relationships up, with that expectation.
Yeah,
that I'm supposed to be everything.
Yeah, instead of
which is just impossible.
Understanding that if there's certain experiences I want to have with another man or with another woman, you cannot fulfill that.
No.
Full stop.
I'm discovering within me that a big thing of my neediness, and as a person who's just more reliant on other people, I have to really restructure, and I'm very lucky to go on this journey and for Jonty to mentor me, even in his just, you know, after doing therapy, but also it's a day-to-day job to really restruct my emotional patterns and my emotional structure, to understand that, no, the goal of a relationship is not one fantasy going to fulfill all needs. And that's a bit crazy because I find myself with my partner that I want to spend the rest of my life with, but I would like to explore other things, and I would like him to explore. I find that I need to just detach that component of you are the most important thing.
I think it's realizing that you can explore without it taking away anything from that partnership and that amazing feelings that you have for your partner.
Yeah, but it's one day it might even change. Maybe he will become a more subtle or safety or wonderful nesty or a great friend. Mm. And then it might, you know, flame again and become again. But we think it should stay. And if we're going to just move, just tiny bit move our attention, we're going to lose it. Or on the contrary.
It's very unrealistic to expect that anything will stay the same.
There is such a big gap between what we really are to what we are taught to believe.
I think but I think the only constant is change.
That's true. But we're so fucking scared of
change.
We're
so fixed in,
stuck,
in our, our way of thinking that that's the only way. And, you know, I always said, like, to friends of mine, I said, you know, well, you've been doing the same thing for the past X years. The result is exactly the same.
Mm.
So you need to change something.
Exactly.
You have to change something.
Sooner or later.
Exactly. And, you know, I think whenever, whether it's bisexuality or anything else, if something comes up for you, you need to see how you're going to react to that.
Mm. And you have to find a space. Sorry, Chanti. You are going through other stuff. What's happening?
Somebody sent a comment on a bad foot job.
Oh.
Gives you halitosis.
Oh.
Okay.
I think we're going to see.
With the turtle pun.
Yeah. I think the foot doctor, we're going to visit him soon. Mm. How do you call a foot doctor? There's a name for it.
Podiatrist. Yeah.
So going back to you, Trevor, just that space of constant change, which is the only way to really expand, that is just the only way to realize we can't, you know, we can't grip things and hope for them to stay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Just don't hate yourself, love.
I'm sorry.
I was going to say, you know, the whole thing comes about, you know, if it doesn't matter what you do, if you're happy being with a particular person or doing a particular thing, why would you want to give that up?
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Yeah. As well. It's
but that's you both have to be on the same page.
We give it up for someone else.
We put these labels on something that says this is the of how we think things should be instead of actually how they are. And in a lot of growth and mystical traditions, it's one of the biggest learnings and one of the biggest concepts is we decide how something should be. We decide what a relationship should be, what our sexuality should be, what our sexual expression should be, what our emotional expression, spiritual expression should be. And then when something comes along that challenges that, it creates this incredible internal dissonance on every level of our being. And
insecurity and fear.
Yeah, because we don't have a role model for this. And this is a huge thing. You know, we don't have public figures announcing their sexuality. And it's something that I bring up quite a lot as a fascinating question. If somebody was standing for some kind of public office and they admitted to being either enjoying a certain kink or being a swinger or not being monogamous or being bisexual,
still very much
would
not
you
done.
Still vote for them? You'd vote for people who steal millions.
Yeah.
You'd vote for people who start the most horrendous fucking wars and cause genocides, but you wouldn't vote for somebody who has sex with somebody else other than their partner, when that is a truer expression of humanity. And it becomes incredibly fascinating that so much of it comes down to that role model and the judgment society has put on it. And there are so many people in public office who are in alternate lifestyles.
But they won't admit it, not publicly.
No.
Anyway.
And it's really sad because we don't have a space for people to do that. And it still becomes, our sexuality is the most judgmental part of life.
I like that about role models because it's very true. And there is a moment where you kind of realize when you get into alternative relationships that you're making it up as you go along.
Yes. Exactly.
And the thought is equally...
Did you read the book?
Liberating as it is terrifying.
Are you also following the manual number 16?
Yeah. I would like that manual, please.
When do you do when your husband and your girlfriend yes. have sex? Oh, my God.
And why do you feel jealous? And who are you jealous of? Exactly.
And are you okay with you? Where is your self-esteem in this whole situation?
Exactly.
I discovered this journey is just helping to really heal self-esteem.
Yeah. But that's where so much of it comes from, because if you are okay with yourself, then everything comes out of a natural extension of that. Mm. Mm. And a while ago, I had in my practice an enormous realization. All healing is about connection. So everything else is a disconnect from parts of ourselves, from society, from parts of others. And the more okay I become with myself, the more I know myself, the more I heal myself, the more okay I can become with life, with the world, with relationships, and navigate that in a different way.
Right, I like that.
And then I had a huge understanding last week on the retreat in Mozambique and some other work that we've been doing recently, which was if you want to heal anything in the world, you have to heal it within yourself. That is the only healing journey. There is one healing journey, and that is within you. You want to heal rape in the world, heal that within you. You want to heal bisexuality in the world, heal it within
heal
you.
It in you.
Acknowledge that that's a part of you. Whether you express it or not is a whole different story.
But you first have to acknowledge.
But it's a part of all of us because we are all connected. And in that, we can take the judgments away. And we can be the beautiful people that we are. Even the people making a noise out there.
They're just having an orgy. It's fine. I know Sia is very much into girls and boys. So he's just going at it.
I have to share this really awesome message we got from one of our listeners. See, we have listeners.
Are you doubting it?
No, we have listeners all around the world, which is amazing and beautiful. Hi, Sex Talk team and today's guest, John to you lucky fish. I'd love to be able to sit with Tamar once a week. Tamar, you're an absolute vixen. Gorgeous. And your voice that purrs in my ears every week is a turn on its own.
True story though.
I'd love to be schooled by you. Back to the show. Brilliant topics every week. Listen intently and such an array of viewpoints. On this week's topic, again, very interesting to listen to. I think that with lifestyle and people's changes, bi curiosity is not taboo anymore. Never had the experience with a male, but many with bi women, and had the most fantastic experience with two and three girls. To watch two girls was able to expose me to so much as to what regular guys do wrong. Learning every curve of note, being able to be softer, with touch, kiss, and slow things down. Also learn to make sure that the girls come first. Anyway, love the show. Thanks for the education. Always listening. Thank you, Steve. That is really awesome. We really appreciate that.
Thank you, Steve.
So that's an interesting question. Can you learn about sex from watching two women or watching two men?
Hell yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think you can.
Well, it depends.
Well, watching people in general.
I like to watch
people.
So more times than not, you'll learn how not to do things.
Exactly. Maybe start with
I was chuckling last week and thinking of how many sexual experiences in a club I have seen where the men had their socks on.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
And nothing else.
Or they're trying to imitate porn and putting their hand on their thighs or their hips and moving it while watching in the mirror.
That's ego sex.
Oh, yeah.
So, interesting thing. From watching two men with each other, what do you think you would learn tomorrow?
So, I think I will learn to connect to a place of they have their own expression with having two cocks. It's something amazing. Mm-hmm. Understanding role play, because we think always there's one dominant or one more active and one passive. And you can learn so much from different, you know, from the role play that can change during sex. And that's something that sometimes women think, okay, I have to be now the woman. You know, I have to receive. I have to be the screamer. I have to be the one who gives, you know, changes the posture according to the man. And I think I will learn from men to maybe see how they choose, if they are aware and conscious, how they choose the postures and the dominance play. Because it's a little bit more, there's more creativity. That's how I see it.
Okay. What would you learn from watching two men together, do you think? Have you had the experience of that?
Yeah, I have.
And what have you learned from it?
I know about a lot about blowjobs. And involve the balls.
I was doing Chinese balls in both of my hands. It was really interesting. Isn't it nice to support?
That was one of the things I learned. Okay. That was a while ago.
But that's good learning.
And also what Tamar was saying as well, I also found that interesting in watching how it flows. Well, with the experience that I saw, watching how it was flowing backwards and forwards between who was being dominant. Mm. There was definitely that.
Okay. So, Trevor, we've got to ask you the opposite side of the question. From watching two women together, what have you learned?
It depends. I don't think there's one answer that will cover each person because I think each interaction that I've watched has been different.
Mm.
You know, some are more dominant than others. Some are more submissive. And I think it depends on what the play is. Mm. Player, I'm using that term generally, but I think it does depend on the play. You know, I've seen some where it's been very gentle, all about touch and sensuality, and others been more about they just want to get to the point of orgasm or squirting, whatever it is. There's very little foreplay. So I think it depends on the interaction, and I think it depends also if the people know each other very well, because if there's a familiarity, it makes it much more comfortable, and that's male-male, female-female.
Yeah.
Or orgies, it doesn't matter.
And in alternate lifestyles, that's been the phrase that's been bandied around the past couple of weeks.
Love to know what that means.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I remember a while ago I was sitting with a group of essentially some sexual practitioners. A lot of them were very clinical practitioners. And it just showed how distanced some practitioners are from real people, more in kind of the more traditional therapeutic professions, where people were talking about being gay as a lifestyle. And you could just hear people who kind of were really involved on ground level with things, this incredible cringing at that. And I think a lot of practitioners are so uncomfortable with their own sexuality that they have no idea on how to really interact with this. And I think the support for people exploring sexuality on all levels is so limited with the level of judgment put on it.
Or it becomes something very detached and clinical almost.
Yeah, and we've taken that human element out of that. It's become very reductionistic, very labeled.
Definitely very labeled.
The fluidity of human sexuality. Mm. When you meet people, how open are you about being a bisexual man?
I'm open about it. Okay. Look, it has caused some challenges, in a normal day-to-day environment. And I found that quite interesting that people would, let's say, I'll give you an example that's more simplistic. You know, the whole thing about wearing nail polish. I wear nail polish because I want to. It's that simple. And yet it's amazing how many people in the workplace have an issue with it.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
And then, I mean, I remember having this discussion, and I won't mention names or types of people that I had the discussion with.
I can tweet it for you if you want.
Okay,
I can
tweet it. I'll send it to you later. And the person had the audacity to tell me that, I know, but wearing nail polish is not professional. So I challenged this person. I said, well, so are you saying then, but all the women in this particular work environment are not professional? Mm. No, that's not what I meant. But I said, you just said that. And so I think it's very easy for people to gloss over it, and they don't realize the extent of what they're actually saying, and how I think there's a lot of things that need to change. And I agree, that change begins with us.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm quite open to say I'm willing to take that on, and I will take it on.
Mm.
It's a part of who I am.
And there's an incredible parallel there in what you've said, in that it so much comes down to acceptance and understanding on every level of life.
Yes.
And not only sexually, politically, religiously, racially, it's exactly the same. And we've just taken sex and we've put it in this little box that is separate from every other aspect of ourselves. We'll be willing to look at being religiously judgmental, and we'll be willing to look at saying, okay, how can I become more religiously accepting?
In a sexual context.
That's it. We look at it politically. We look at it in all sorts of ways. But when it comes to sex, that terrifies us.
Mm-hmm.
Because so much of our self-definition is in our sexuality. And we fear the power of sex, the freedom it can bring. Because I've said often, a person who becomes sexually free cannot be controlled.
Yeah,
it's liberating. I'd agree with that.
And when you start to become that, and that just doesn't mean that you're having sex with someone other than your partner.
No. But it's when you become unapologetic about it and you start owning it.
And that's where so much of it changes. You have to own and acknowledge it within you. That's where you can start changing it.
And it's amazing then to see the people's reactions, because they know they can't control you and they actually don't know how to handle you.
It's like a get back in your box.
Yeah, it's get back in your box. I'm used to that.
It's freaky actually to think or understand that, you know, we can express ourselves going to different events. You know, you can have a certain taste in music and you like heavy metal and, you know, and nobody will ask you, what did you do in the weekend? But once you realize that not owning yourself sexually, mentally, because sex is just connected to our psyche and, you know, in our emotional and holistic world, once you don't own it, you start to have problems. Mm. You start to struggle and truly suffer. Mm-hmm. And then when you want to make yourself healthy again, and you start owning it, that's scary, because you're starting to realize that what healed you to own it and to be that authentic self. And then people also wanted you to put that in that place of whatever you do in your free time. Just don't show me. Mm. Don't show me. We don't want to know if you're like one of those people that like different things.
Well, they'd be shocked.
Everything different. Everything different. Nothing different. I don't want to know if you eat different food. No, it's a bit, it's just, Jonty was speaking now about that place of boxes and the reality of freedom. We are not free. We do not want, we are scared to be free. And sex is such a basic right to have your own flavor, but don't show it. That's something
that... Don't talk about it at work on Monday.
Sexual manifesto. Sexual revolution is nowhere near done.
We're
at the very beginning.
Yeah. Expression. Expression.
A really interesting question is, I have a perception that a lot of people shut down their sexuality, particularly in this context, rather than express it.
Yeah.
Especially if it comes up later in life.
How do you see it in the practice or with people?
So somebody would be in a relationship, in a marriage, and this all of a sudden starts waking up within them. Mm-hmm. And they would rather suppress it than express it.
Sure.
Which I think would lead to suppressing the other side of their sexuality as well, which ultimately leads to a really deep emotional suppression.
I don't think you can suppress the one side without suppressing
because you have to switch off switches all
over the place.
Yeah.
I think that, look, I think there's two approaches. I think the person could either suppress it, or they could push it to a place that's really dark and explore it in that avenue, and that could be even more detrimental.
Yeah. Well, we've spoken about this before. For example, a lot of men who will label themselves as straight full stop, but are having sexual experiences with other men without acknowledging that.
On the down low, in secret.
Yeah.
And there's risk involved with that.
Yeah, there's enormous risk.
Huge risk. Mm. Huge risk. And it becomes almost that, you know, they're looking for something that is not there and they're trying to fulfill a need, but it's not authentic. Mm. And then when it does come out, because invariably the truth always comes out, then they're actually even in a worse position than they were before.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then you've been lying and cheating.
And but not only that, they're lying to themselves.
Shameful. Under the bigger picture of sexual authenticity, that we won't acknowledge that within ourselves. We won't acknowledge who we are. And we did a beautiful interview with my friend Galen Fuss in America, who is a therapist specializing in kink and fetish work. And the bottom line of any conversation, what you guys said earlier, you put your sexual orientation and your interests on the table from the very beginning.
Mm. Yeah. It's the honest and ethical thing to do,
this
really.
This is who you are.
Yeah. If you have that knowledge of self from the beginning, then it's not ethical to not share it, in my opinion.
Mm. Yeah. And then we can do something with that, or we can't.
Yeah, but you give the other person the choice as well to be involved with you or not, and not find out 6 months down the line when they're already invested. Yeah. That's not fair. That's cruel.
Yeah. Mm. And that becomes a problem, because relationships develop. People fall in love and you tend to put some things by the wayside for that, for the fear of being judged and the change that it would bring.
Mm. Or just because you like this person so much, you're like, okay, I can I can sacrifice this to be with this person.
And ultimately you find out that you can't.
It doesn't work.
Because 10, 15, 20 years later,
whenever
it's going to be there. Mm-hmm. Something's going to trigger it.
Sacrificing comes with a debt. With, you know, there's something in the other side.
We've
anger.
We've been taught that. We've been taught that happiness is a sacrifice, that love is a sacrifice, that marriage is a sacrifice.
Mm. It's hard work. It's compromise.
And it is hard work. And it is compromise,
it is.
But it's not sacrifice. Because if you have to suppress or not allow a part of yourself to be there, it's not an authentic expression of love.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that it's always easy. Mm. And you have to go. You have to be a map maker and an explorer to find ways to do it. Rather than looking for a simple little answer, it doesn't happen like that. But the more we do that, the more authentic we become within ourselves and within life. And then you have to think about, what are you teaching your children when you are not sexually authentic? You're teaching them to be the same. You're teaching them not to be emotionally authentic.
Mm.
You're teaching them to stay in relationships that are unfulfilling, that are abusive.
Mm.
And we just perpetuate cycles and the patterns instead of changing them. Really, really interesting. So now you've all gone very quiet.
No, but I'm just thinking. I'm thinking what happens if a young or a not so young guy or girl listening to us thinking, but how do I start? What is my first step? Let's say I want to try, you know, to be my true bisexual. What do I do? Do I just go?
Jonty's got our numbers.
Listen, yeah, exactly. We're available on Monday.
From 3 to 5.
Like, okay, your first experience. But really, that you were very young.
Yeah.
But kind of like, how did you have anything coming to your mind that you had to calm down? Because I remember I had like, I'm kissing a girl. What does it mean? I had a lot of that.
I was just super excited by it, I think, in the beginning.
You're just a unicorn.
Yeah.
Okay. Janti, what would be your tip for the new bisexual self person?
I remember.
Get on Tinder.
I remember a long time ago working with a couple, and they were very religious Christian people. They came to a yoni massage workshop, and she was in tears for a long time, and I was just about to suggest that they go home. And she said, nope, she's going to do this. And they ended up having the most beautiful experience and opening an incredible journey of exploration.
Mm.
And I remember her coming to me one night, and I was totally in tears at her excitement. She came and said, I kissed a girl.
And I liked it.
And she was just totally, totally blown away by this.
Yeah.
And it was such a beautiful thing of this opening up this whole world of possibility. And that's what it does. It opens a world of possibility.
Oh, yeah.
I found with girls, women, I can just – we also, you know, we women, so it's like – I had an experience with a strap-on with a lovely lady, and I was like, do this. How does this feel? We were like doing a little workshop. It wasn't very sexy, I'm sure. It must be sexy to watch from the side, but it was like, how does it feel? But it's kind of weird because I can't feel what I'm doing. And it was like a whole discussion, but much more.
But that's kind of cool. There's all the fun. Communication. Yes. And it makes it better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you can take the kind of seriousness out of an experience.
Oh, yeah. You have to be able to laugh.
Yeah. And I think with a lot of men, having a first experience with another man. Just because you have a cock doesn't mean you actually know what to do with one.
That's true. Very true.
The same goes for women.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Yeah, just because you have a yoni doesn't mean you know what to do with it.
Mm. No, absolutely. Every single one is different.
Get the DVDs. Yeah.
And by the same token, when gay people have come to learn things from me, and in the beginning, I remember the first gay female couple that came to learn some yoni massage, and my first thought was, oh, do I know as much as I really think I do? And I soon found out that I actually knew a whole lot more. Just because people have something or do a lot doesn't mean you know a lot about it.
No, they do a lot with the same person, and then they get involved with someone else, and it's like starting all over again. Like, fuck, I don't know how to do this.
Or they find their partner's been pretending the whole time.
Oh, God.
And then it becomes the fact that we don't have the education for sex that we need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that a big thing for men? Are men kind of happier, easier to explore, to ask questions? Does kind of male ego get in the way there?
I think both. I think the ego can get in the way.
Mm.
I think men being men, they can tend to talk about things more openly. you know, it's more direct. It's
if not, they are open.
If they're open, yes.
Yeah.
But they're more engaging. I mean, I haven't had any problems with in engaging with guys about in terms of what they're experiencing. But for me, because there's a connection, I think it's easier for them to relate to how I'm coming across, which makes a big difference.
I found a big problem to you know, when women are not in that stage of owning their sexuality and being communication, it's all the time the word.
Communication makes good sex, really.
Exactly, because I was when I had experiences, I was like, are you having a good time? And is this good? How does it feel when I touch there? And it's like... You know, she's like,
oh, it's lovely.
Yeah, yes, or like doing the no. Just really, how are you?
You go into porn star mode. A lot of women do that as soon as
switch off.
Switch on porn star mode, and it's oh god.
Like I can see, I'm thinking, like I'm doing stuff, and I'm like, no. Really, how are you feeling? I want you to really have.
But we
a
don't
good
always know that. Yeah. It's a hard thing for people.
Damn
to
it, some people don't even know what they want. So you ask them, what do you want? I don't know what.
I didn't know before I met Jonty. I didn't know.
Because they don't. We don't know ourselves.
No.
And then we don't know how to communicate that. And then there's all this judgment and this fear of what happens if I ask something and they don't know how to do it. And I don't even know what it is. And it becomes a minefield for so many people.
And so many people don't take gentle criticism or gentle direction very well at
There's
all.
No criticism in sexuality. Yeah. It's all spontaneous and amazing.
Direction. You say, do this. And they're like, what's wrong with what I'm doing?
Exactly. Yeah. But, you know,
you've got to put that ego stuff aside to be a really good lover.
How can I know your body? Yeah. You know, I need guidance.
So you want to know. Here's a little tip.
Yeah.
To really focus it, to change how you have sex. Turn everything around.
Huh?
What does that mean? It means focus on yourself.
Hmm.
If you're touching someone, focus on how that feels for you. What are the feelings, the sensations, the emotions that you are experiencing?
Hmm.
And the deeper you go into that, the more you're able to give in the most amazing ways.
That's interesting.
Because it will show you what's blocked within you. It will show you how sensitive you are. It will show you how much you are feeling. It will show you how present you are. Because if you can really focus on yourself for more than 10 seconds, you can focus on your partner for more than 10 seconds.
Yeah.
So you want to change the way you have sex, turn it around and put the focus on you. If you're licking someone, you're sucking someone,
enjoy it.
Are the sensations, feelings for you?
Yeah. And don't fucking suffer.
And
don't suffer through it.
No, like, I'm doing it for her now.
Yeah.
My neck is about to, you know, click out.
I'm passing my neck for you.
Yeah. So, in light of that, because position is really, really important, and if you're not comfortable, you're not going to enjoy it.
Pillows.
A woman is lying on her back, your head is at an unnatural angle.
Lift it up.
Lift her hips, put some cushions, or get some liberator cushions, which are the sex wedges.
Yeah.
Go and look on the web for liberator cushions. Mm. They're amazing. And as soon as you're comfortable, you can kind of go...
I can do it for a long time.
And relax and really
Or get
enjoy
lower than
it.
Her. Put her on the table.
Yeah.
Get on your knee.
Kneel on
the
floor. Anything. So many different things.
The frustration is coming out. Like, you do it for more than 5 minutes.
As soon as you do that.
But also women that struggle with the blowjob, like trying to suffocate themselves.
Get comfortable.
Enjoy it.
Mm. Absolutely. So one of the best and comfiest positions, and this goes for, it doesn't matter who's doing the sucking, whether it's a man or a woman.
For a man or a woman.
So the receiver lies on his side.
Mm-hmm.
The giver lies on his or her side.
With cushions under
lots of cushions under your head. So your head is at the right place and the right angle. And it is so comfortable.
So like a lying down.
And like a lying down.
And then
69.
Your hands are free
and
as well.
And it's really easy and really comfortable. And that's really beautiful.
I get really distracted by a 69 though, because I'm like, I don't know what to focus on. I'm focused on what I'm feeling, what I'm feeling there.
So 69s are fun, but they're not about serious pleasure.
And what happens is Jonty tossed us this
Daisy chain.
And then you really don't know what to focus on. There's like 5, 6, 7 people giving each other all pleasure.
My mind
like
is fritzing out like, what?
But you know what? Have more fun. This is Jonty's motto. Have more pleasure and love. And have more, just more sensual experiences, not more sexual necessarily experiences,
absolutely,
because it's limited.
Yeah, and that's what it is.
Yeah.
Really interesting discussion, guys. Thank you very much for sharing, and thank you for sharing yourselves. It's very, it's beautiful to be so vulnerable in that. Thanks, I really honor and appreciate that. Thank you.
When you're with the right community and the right souls, it's so much
but
easier.
But it needs to be able to be everywhere.
Yeah, that's amen.
Authenticity.
We'll heal it in ourselves and then hopefully.
I really appreciate and acknowledge that. Lots of cool stuff happening on eroslife.co.za. We have got lots of new videos up and lots of new videos on our YouTube channel, Eros Life SA, and a whole new series of sensual healing and connection. It's practical stuff teaching you how to connect with your own sensuality. So go visit our YouTube channel. It's all there.
Wonderful.
And that's really beautiful. On the 3rd of October, I am doing a talk on sexual exploration. How do you explore your sexuality? Very linked to what we were talking about today. Mm. How do you communicate? How do you explore fantasies? How do you share your fantasies with a partner? Erotica in a relationship, everything like that. And information for that is on the website with a whole lot of other workshops coming up. So thank you again.
And you know, okay, cool. So that's something I'll come to. Do you think it's like a link to help to enable that to go on to bisexuality, to go into BDSM, to go.
Yeah, of course, because it all starts with knowing and exploring yourself. And if you have tools and a framework, then you can do that. So I wish you all so much pleasure.
And thank you, Steve.
This is CliffCentral.com.